Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, October 23rd, 2020. Coming up this hour.
The final presidential debate strikes a more civilized tone as the candidates spar over foreign influence.
On Capitol Hill, skepticism grows over a stimulus package.
And the FDA approves the first virus therapy for COVID-19.
A cybersecurity advisory says Russian hackers are targeting U.S. government agencies. Plus, former New Jersey Governor Christie urges people to wear masks. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Heartbreaking loss for the Giants. They blew a lead in Philadelphia. Dodgers and Rays, game three of the World Series tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm helping clients to be in a position of strength in the new reality of business. Learn about their innovative solutions by visiting Withum.com.
And U.S. futures are higher this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6 points, Dow futures up 79, NASDAQ futures up 7, the DAX in Germany's up 0.8%, 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.85%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 13 cents at $40.77 a barrel. The euro 1.1848 against the dollar. Nathan.
Karen. We begin with the final debate between President Trump and Joe Biden. It was a more civilized affair with the candidates sparring over foreign meddling in the election.
Russia has been involved. China has been involved to some degree. And now we learn that Iran is involved. They will pay a price if I'm elected. They're interfering with American sovereignty.
Biden also charged the president with being soft on Russia. President Trump fired back.
While he was selling pillows and sheets, I sold tank busters to Ukraine. There has been nobody tougher on Russia than Donald Trump.
The president also falsely accused Biden of accepting money from Russia.
Joe, you were vice president when some of this was happening, and it should have never happened. And I think you owe an explanation to the American people.
The former vice president denied the charge, pointing to the president's foreign business interests.
I have not taken a penny from any foreign source ever in my life. We learned that this president paid 50 times the tax in China, has a secret bank account with China, does business in China, and in fact is talking about me taking money. I have not taken a single penny from any country whatsoever.
Comments tied to race made news in the first debate. This time around, the moderator gave President Trump a chance to clarify his views.
I am the least racist person. I can't even see the audience because it's so dark, but I don't care who's in the audience. I'm the least racist person in this room.
At the same time, the president called what he's seen from the Black Lives Matter movement, quote, a terrible thing. When it comes to race, Joe Biden had the last word.
Here's one of the most racist presidents we've had in modern history. He pours fuel on every single racist fire, every single one.
The candidates mostly complied with the new format, making for a more organized and relatively cordial debate this time around.
Overall, the contest was seen as a tie, and that's according to Republican pollster Frank Luntz, who says President Trump needed to do more to pull ahead.
The reason why Trump needed a knockout blow tonight, and why I think that in the end he's going to be the one who lost, is because he didn't get that. He didn't change the race. And if we go and vote based on where things stand right now, Joe Biden's going to be elected president. Trump needed to change that tonight, and I don't think he succeeded.
More coverage and analysis on last night's debate coming up throughout the hour right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
But first, it looks like odds for a stimulus deal before the election are fading. For weeks, Senate Republicans have been skeptical about passing a measure. Now it looks like House Democrats are starting to agree. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Republicans never did like the size of the $2 trillion stimulus package, and now some House Democrats oppose the idea of a vote on any stimulus measure before the election, saying there's no point in returning returning to the Capitol for a vote if the Senate isn't ready to act. Pelosi says they're near an agreement on how to allocate money for testing and tracing to safely reopen schools and the economy, but still have not settled main sticking points: aid to state and local governments, school funding, and a liability shield for employers. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. We have a new development this morning in the fight against the pandemic. Gilead's remdesivir has become the first drug granted approval by the FDA. We get more from Bloomberg healthcare reporter Michelle Cortez.
They will continue to track the medicine to make sure that there isn't anything that's unexpectedly negative happening, but it means that we're out of the woods of having to prove that it's beneficial.
Remdesivir was one of the drugs given to President Trump when he was diagnosed with a virus, and Gilead shares up about 5.5% this morning.
Meantime, the virus surge continues in the Midwest, with Illinois, Ohio, and Utah all reporting daily infection records. Chicago is imposing a business curfew starting tonight. Mayor Lori Lightfoot says restrictions will begin at 10 p.m.
If you think about where we were just 2 weeks ago, or even at the beginning of October, and where we are now, it's like we're back in the spring.
Only essential businesses will operate after 10. Liquor sales will stop at 9. The curfew is expected to last at least 2 weeks.
Let's turn to news on Wall Street now, with word that Wells Fargo is exploring the sale of its asset management unit. Bloomberg News has learned the business could fetch more than $3 billion. We're told Wells Fargo has been discussing a possible deal with asset managers and private equity firms since last month.
On the earnings front, shares of Intel are now down more than 9% in early trading following the company's latest results. Here with details is Ed Ludlow from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The chipmaker's major source of pain was its data center business, usually a key profit maker for the company. After leading the industry for decades, Intel has fallen years behind in new technologies like 7-nanometer chips. Investors were clearly left disappointed by a lack of news from Intel executives on when it's going to catch up. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, and thank you. Shares of Mattel rising 12% in extended trading. Third quarter results shattered expectations as consumers snapped up Barbie dolls and Hot Wheels during the pandemic.
In Europe, shares of Barclays are up more than 7% now. The London-based bank had another strong quarter thanks to pandemic-driven volatility. Barclays also posted lower-than-expected impairments from the virus. Futures on Wall Street pointing to a higher open this morning. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. And at 6:07 on Wall Street, we bring in Michael Barr for more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Movie theaters are allowed to reopen today in New York State. However, in the city, cinemas will remain closed. Theaters will be allowed to only have 25% capacity. Each screen will have a maximum of 50 people. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says while the state's positivity rate remains low at 1.2%, there were more than 1,600 virus cases Thursday. The governor also commented about the White House calling for a vaccine by Election Day.
Forget the day you're going to have the vaccine and stand up in the Rose Garden holding up the vial. That day is almost meaningless. How does that vial get reproduced 300 million times in this country, and then get administered by all the states?
In New Jersey, the count of daily coronavirus cases continues to rise. It was almost at 1,200 yesterday. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is calling on citizens to wear face masks during the pandemic. Christie, who contracted the virus after working at the White House, spoke yesterday in Ohio.
I want everybody out there who's listening to understand that this is one of the most unpredictable, random, and brutal viruses you'll ever see.
Christie also wrote in the Wall Street Journal, a mask is not a partisan or cultural symbol and is not a sign of weakness. Police in New York are still looking for a man who threw a 73-year-old grandmother onto the subway tracks earlier this week. She survived in the nick of time and was removed before a train arrived. Her grandson, Henry Chang, was also attacked Monday when he asked a man to put out a cigarette at a subway station in Brooklyn. He says the man assaulted him and his grandfather. Chang says when his grandmother tried to intervene, the man threw her on the tracks.
I realize now that this is not the right time to say things to people that, you don't know how people react.
No arrests have been made. According to a cybersecurity advisory issued by U.S. agencies, Russia has been targeting U.S. government agencies since at least September and may be planning more severe attacks in the days leading up to Election Day and even afterward. The guidances were issued jointly by the FBI and the Cyber Security Infrastructure Security Agency. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Here's John Stashire.
Nathan, the Giants' league-leading 42nd loss over the last four seasons, and this one may be the toughest to take. In Philadelphia, they had an 11-point lead with 5 minutes to go. They were on the verge of being no worse than a game out of first place, but the Eagles went 78 yards in four plays and then 71 yards in six plays and in the final minute.
Wentz lines them up again, but they're at the 18. Fulgham to the near side. Can he be the hero? Wentz is back. He's looking, still looking. He starts to go. He is firing. Touchdown! Boston Scott!
What a catch.
Put her at the goal line and went in.
What a catch. What a throw. What a catch.
WIP, the call is the Eagles did it again to Big Blue. 22-21. The Giants' eighth loss in a row to Philly. Still winless there since 2013. There were bright spots. Daniel Jones threw two touchdown passes. He also had an 80-yard run. It was somehow not a touchdown as Jones tripped and fell, but the Giants scored later. The defense, except for allowing an early TD and the two late ones, played well, but the record drops to 1-6. Dez Bryant, now 31 years old, might be back catching passes in the NFL. His last game with Dallas was in 2017, but he's going to work out, take a physical with Baltimore. Tiger Woods won the Zozo Golf last year when it was in Japan. This year it's in California. Tiger struggled, shot four over par. He's 12 shots behind. World Series Game 3 tonight, Arlington, Texas. Dodgers and Rays tied at one. Good pitching matchup. Walker Buehler has made four postseason starts for L.A. His ERA is under 2. And New Jersey native Charlie Morton has made three for Tampa Bay. He's 3-0 with an ERA under 1. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Steve.
All right, John, thank you. Quick programming note this morning. Join us for an interview with White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow. He's actually going to be on Bloomberg Radio and Television. Coming up in just a couple hours here, 9 a.m. Wall Street time, so be sure to check back for that. S&P futures right now up 6 points. Dow futures ahead by 80. NASDAQ futures up 4 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burdenllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by IBKR Investment Advisors. Switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interest at IBKR.com/RIA. And U.S. stock index futures are jumping this morning with S&P futures up 7 points, Dow futures up 91. NASDAQ futures, though, little change. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.85%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 17 cents at $40.81 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.33% or $6.90 at $19.11.50 an ounce. The euro, 1.1846 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3085. And the yen is at 104.65. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, there were clashes, but it was calmer compared to the first debate. President Trump and Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden traded charges of secretly taking money from foreign interests in their final debate of the campaign in Nashville. Trump and Biden sparred over their economic policies, the coronavirus pandemic, immigration, and racism. The candidates were also asked what they would do for communities living near industry. Biden wanted to limit and regulate the pollutants. Trump challenged him.
Would you close down the oil
industry? By the way, I would transition from the oil industry, yes.
Oh,
I will transition. It is a big statement.
Today, President Trump will travel to Florida. This weekend, former President Barack Obama will also head to the battleground state. Thursday night football, the Giants lost to the Eagles. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
There are 11 days until the election. We have you covered right up to November 3rd, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. And joining us live from just outside Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee, site of last night's second and final presidential debate. Bloomberg Radio and Television Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli. Well, how about that, Kevin? Substance.
It was honestly a sigh of relief, I think, collectively, not just from Kristen Welker, but also from the country last night, as we really did get a substantial tone shift from President Trump as he looked to contrast himself with Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden. And look, I've got my eye on the battleground states. Nathan, you and I have talked about this before. And when I talk to Democrats as well as Republicans, Arizona, 11 electoral votes, a state that President Trump carried by 3.5 percentage points over Clinton last cycle, and a state now that Democrats feel they are on the cusp of winning, and Republicans are really nervous that if they lose Arizona, their path to the White House would be eliminated. So that's what I was thinking about, the prism in which I reported on the immigration policy discussion during last night's debate, where you had Joe Biden contrasting his policies on catch and release versus President Trump. President Trump, meanwhile, had his eye on Cuban American Catholics in the battleground state of Florida, which have been trending in his direction. And they feel that Florida is much more competitive for them at this point than Arizona. Then, if you look at the battleground states on the U.S.-China trade relations front, President Trump and Joe Biden didn't talk globally when they were talking about China. They talked about trade policy through the prism of Michigan, Wisconsin as well. More battleground states. But on energy policy, the tail end of the debate, that was the key moment for me. When you had Joe Biden come out and say that he is against fracking on federal land but would not ban fracking, and then also say he wants to eliminate emissions by 2025, no doubt Republicans are going to try to seize on that today.
And it really did seem as though, Kevin, the president himself seized on that. We heard the soundbite where he said that was a big deal. Is the campaign seeing that as a knockout blow, something that a lot of political analysts said the president needed last night to try to turn his campaign around?
Well, it forces the question of policy, of energy policy, for the Biden campaign to answer. And it's a conversation that, quite honestly, Republicans want to have, because they want to understand they want to ask the questions about what a Green New Deal would look like in a Biden administration. And so it's a driving issue in parts of Pennsylvania, which Joe Biden mentioned last night. He name-dropped Marcus Hook, for example, refinery town just outside of the city of Philadelphia. And look, the Biden campaign is headquartered in Pennsylvania. It's in Philly. Former President Obama campaigning in Philadelphia. They want to rally the African-American vote, particularly in that region. Republicans feel that you know, Pennsylvania would be an uphill climb for them to win this go-around, despite winning it last time. But go to parts of North Dakota, where Senator Kevin Cramer, a Republican, defeated a Democrat incumbent, Heidi Heitkamp, in 2018, largely as it relates to the energy sector being an issue. That's a huge deal. Go to parts of the North Carolinas, even. I mean, in the Rust Belt coalition, this was a key moment for Republicans last night that they are going to seize upon and try to talk about, maybe even more so, than the Supreme Court issue.
And when you look at the battleground states and all the issues that did come up in terms of energy policy, immigration, and a battle against the coronavirus, is there a sense that this debate could have some impact down ballot when it comes to trying for the Republicans to retain control of the Senate in our last minute here, Kevin?
After the debate, and I'll keep this short, I communicated with one senior political pollster who's been around the block, so to speak, on inside and out of Washington. And they said that what this source told me was, if you think of working class voters who are on the fence last night, that was who this debate was aimed for. And Joe Biden continued to try to make inroads with the suburbs and pick off Republicans like the Romney-esque Republicans who were put off by the president's rhetoric. So we're going to have to wait and see. No doubt Biden had the momentum in the polls coming into this race. You know, we'll have to wait until Monday to see if the polls move, Nathan.
Right. And obviously lots of issues for pundits and voters to consider the morning after a very substantive debate. Bloomberg Radio and Television Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli with the post-debate analysis and reaction this morning from Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee. And we will continue to keep coverage of this election going on through the morning here on Bloomberg Radio. We'll get more post-debate analysis in later on this hour from Bloomberg political consultant, former McCain campaign manager Rick Davis. So be sure to check back for that. Ahead of that, futures mixed now. S&P futures up 6, NASDAQ futures down 6. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The final debate between President Trump and Joe Biden was a more civilized affair. The candidates sparred over foreign influence in U.S. politics after news that Iran and Russia are working to disrupt the election.
They will pay a price if I'm elected. They're interfering with American sovereignty. That's what's going on right now. They're interfering with American sovereignty. And to the best of my knowledge, I don't think the president said anything to Putin about it.
Well, President Trump fired back by falsely accusing Biden of accepting money from Russia.
They were paying you a lot of money, and they probably still are. But now, with what came out today, it's even worse. All of the emails, the horrible emails of the kind of money that you were raking in, you and your family.
Biden denied the allegations, which are tied to unverified emails, and instead attacked the president's ties to China.
Has a secret bank account with China, does business in China, and in fact is talking about me taking money. I've not taken a single penny from any country whatsoever.
The president went on to defend his foreign policy, touting tough lines on China and Russia while explaining his Chinese account as one of many tied to his business.
I closed it before I even ran for president, let alone became president. Big difference.
And we have more coverage and analysis of last night's debate coming up throughout the morning right here on Bloomberg Radio.
But first, it looks like odds for a stimulus deal before the election are fading. Resistance from Senate Republicans is growing, and now sources tell us some House Democrats tell Nancy Pelosi they don't want to vote on legislation before the election either if the Senate won't do the same.
Well, meantime, the virus surge continues in the Midwest, with Illinois, Ohio, and Utah all reporting daily infection records. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot's imposing a business curfew starting tonight.
All non-essential businesses will be closed to the public from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. All liquor sales will be closed as of 9 p.m. across the city.
And now we have a new development in the fight against the pandemic. The FDA has approved Gilead's antiviral therapy, remdesivir. It's the first drug to obtain formal clearance for treating the coronavirus. And shares of Gilead, they're up about 5.5% in early trading. S&P futures, they're up 6 points. Dow futures up 83. NASDAQ futures are down about 9. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.85%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5%, or 21 cents, at $40.86 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by the new Land Rover Defender, the toughest and most advanced Land Rover vehicle ever. Test drive the new Land Rover Defender at your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer today. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Nathan, there were sparks, but nothing like the chaotic first debate. President Donald Trump and Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden traded charges. President Trump defended his administration's handling of COVID-19, talking about his own battle with the illness, and said that the country needed to be open for business or the nation will die.
These are businesses that are dying, Joe. You can't do that to people. You just can't. Take a look at New York and what's happened to my wonderful city for so many years. I loved it. It was vibrant. It's dying. Everyone's leaving New York.
Joe Biden.
Take a look at what New York has done in terms of turning the curve down in terms of the number of people dying.
More than 47 million Americans have already voted in the election, now just 11 days away. A judge tossed out a lawsuit brought by President Trump's campaign and the Republican National Committee to block New Jersey's plan to send mail-in ballots to all registered voters. The judge said the GOP's stated fear of a wave of voter fraud was speculative. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is calling on citizens to wear face masks during the pandemic. Christie, who contracted the virus after working at the White House, spoke yesterday in Ohio. Christie shared how he let his guard down and ended up with a life-threatening experience.
I did that for 4 days out of 7 months that we've been going through this pandemic. And 3 days later, I began to feel what I call the freight train.
Christie spent 6 days in the ICU and considers himself lucky to be here. Movie theaters are allowed to reopen today in New York State. However, in the city, cinemas will remain closed. Theaters will be allowed to only have 25% capacity. Each screen will have a maximum of 50 people. A cybersecurity advisory says Russia has been targeting U.S. government agencies since at least September and may be planning more severe attacks in the days leading up to Election Day and even afterward. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bird and Accountants and Advisors Sports Update with John Stanshire.
Nathan, things were looking good for the Giants last night in Philadelphia.
Jones takes the snap. He looks right. He throws right. End zone. Touchdown, Giants. Sterling Shepard. And the Giants cap off a 97-yard drive and now lead it 20-10 with the extra point pending. 6:17 to go. Second touchdown pass of the game for Jones.
UFAN, the call. Daniel Jones also had an 80-yard run. He tripped and fell just shy of the end zone, but the Giants still scored. After falling behind early, the Giants to that point had outscored the Eagles 21-3. Giants fans with visions of first place in the anemic NFC East, but they have seen this movie before. The Eagles, with two Carson Wentz touchdown passes in the last 5 minutes, pulled it out. 22-21. Big Blues now lost to Philly 8 straight times. Looks like the winless Jets will get Sam Darnold back Sunday against Buffalo. He's missed the last 2 games. Dodgers and Rays, Game 3 of the World Series tonight in Texas. Series tied at 1. Walker Buehler for L.A., Charlie Morton for Tampa Bay. The National League this season used the designated hitter for the first time, but not expected to use it next season, maybe in 2022, after a new labor deal is agreed to. When will the next NHL season begin? The goal is still January 1st, but the league announced there'll be no New Year's Day outdoor game and no All-Star game, since they don't know yet whether fans will be part of next season. The NBA announced that due to COVID, its draft next month will be held at ESPN Studios. No players will be invited. Tiger Woods, 12 shots behind. That's the first round in Sherman Oaks, California. John Stanchel, Bloomberg Sports.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Netflix may test just how essential it really is. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. As cinemas remain desolate, cooler weather puts an end to outdoor dining, and COVID-19 roars back across the world, dinner and a movie has been replaced by takeout and Netflix. And when something's as in demand as Netflix is right now, prices tend to go up. It's been almost 2 years since the company's last U.S. price hike, and it recently began charging more in Canada, where the standard subscription went up by $1 per month. Users also suggest that they wouldn't mind paying more for Netflix. In a Cowen research survey last month, 53% said they'd be willing to pay a higher rate, and that's up from last year's survey. Netflix's growth is slowing in the U.S., so it's going to need another way to pay for its immense content bills and to keep us all from getting bored this winter, because other streaming apps aren't yet rising to the occasion. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Coming up today, we wrap up a busy week of third quarter earnings reports as American Express opens its books. Here with more is Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Card spending likely continued to recover during the quarter, according to Bloomberg Intelligence. Although corporate travel remains dormant, consumer travel spending continues its steady recovery. Spending has not migrated to rival cards as Amex has added reward categories to its most popular travel cards geared toward the impact of COVID-19, such as food delivery and streaming services. Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg are forecasting a third-quarter profit of $1.34 per share on revenue of about $8.6 billion. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry. And also on the agenda this morning at 9:45 Wall Street time, the research firm IHS Market reports on October manufacturing. Economists predict more progress at America's factories. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
In September, the market factory index rose to the highest since January 2019 in the aftermath of the pandemic disruptions. The Federal Reserve's most recent Facebook survey gave a thumbs up to manufacturing. Thursday, the Kansas City Fed reported its regional factory index rose in October, signaling growth for the fifth month in a row. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Some other stories we're following. Bloomberg News has learned U.S. regulators are close to a final decision on whether to bring an antitrust lawsuit against Facebook. The complaint would accuse the social network of using its dominance to harm competition. Staff at the Federal Trade Commission support bringing a case. In California, Uber and Lyft have been hit with a bombshell legal ruling. An appeals court says they have to treat drivers in the state as employees instead of independent contractors. That means the rideshare companies would have to pay them costly benefits. And Fitch Ratings is warning that default is a real possibility at WeWork. Fitch downgraded the troubled company from CCC plus to CCC. That indicates substantial credit risk. WeWork tried and failed to go public last year, and the pandemic has made things worse. People are opting to work at home rather than in WeWork's communal offices. S&P futures now up 10 points. Dow futures up 113. NASDAQ futures have been swinging between gains and losses. Right now they're up 6 points. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burdenllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are rising on the back of positive corporate earnings and German manufacturing data, putting the stock market on track for the first increase this week. S&P 500 futures are also rising. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 11 points. Dow futures up 110. NASDAQ futures up 16. The DAX in Germany is up 1.25%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.85%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 18 cents at $40.82 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $7.80 at $19.1230 an ounce. The euro 1.1842 against the dollar, British pound 1.3065, and the yen 104.69. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, if the first debate was a food fight, last night was more of a sit-down dinner with liver and onions. President Donald Trump and Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden traded charges of secretly taking money from foreign interests. Trump and Biden sparred over their economic policies, the coronavirus pandemic, immigration, and racism. President Trump was asked to explain statements he has made about the Black Lives Matter movement.
I didn't say I'm Abraham Lincoln. I said not since Abraham Lincoln has anybody done what I've done for the black community. Now, you have done nothing other than the crime bill, which put...
Oh, God.
Joe Biden.
Abraham Lincoln here is one of the most racist presidents we've had in modern history. He pours fuel on every single racist fire.
In Thursday Night Football, the Giants lost to the Eagles. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
There are 11 days until the election. We have all the developments covered right to November 3rd, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio. Some of the latest include House Speaker Pelosi saying they are just about there on a stimulus deal, the Senate moving forward on Judge Amy Coney Barrett's Supreme Court confirmation, and President Trump and former Vice President Biden drawing sharp contrasts with the gloves on at their final debate. For more on last night, we're joined by Bloomberg political contributor Rick Davis. Good morning, Rick. As we heard, we got a lot of substance and a chance for both candidates to attack each other on the issues and on character. What stood out for you?
Well, I think that both candidates differed sharply on a number of issues that I don't think people really anticipated. I'd say the highlight was the toward the end of the debate, the debate on climate that really turned into a debate on hydrocarbons. And fracking and the future of oil were really contrasted at the end of the debate and has made a lot of news today. But also on the virus, the debate started with a thorough discussion of the coronavirus. And again, a sharp contrast to see how both candidates view two Americas, one, according to Donald Trump, which is reopening and moving past the virus and actually learning, quote, to live with it. And Joe Biden's view of America with COVID, which was you're not going to learn how to live it, but people are dying with it. We're back up to over 1,000 deaths a day. And so I think the public got to see two clear differences between these two candidates.
When you have that kind of contrast and when you have a vision of two Americas coming out of a debate, is there any possibility that a contest like this sways any swing votes with the vote still underway right now with early voting happening?
Well, part of the reason you have this kind of difference is because there's an enormous polarization within the electorate. Joe Biden's voters, they do believe coronavirus is the number one issue. And until we get through this public health crisis, you're not going to be able to address issues like the economy and jobs and climate and whatnot. Donald Trump's voters believe exactly the opposite, that we need to just shoulder the virus and move on and get the economy reopened and go back to creating new jobs and such. So it's really all driven by the voters themselves. And the reality is that's not going to change between now and the election, but the swing voters in this election are voters who voted for Donald Trump in 2016, primarily Republicans, who have come off of his coalition since 2016 and are up for grabs to the Biden campaign. And if Biden is able to close that deal, states that Donald Trump won in 2016 will go Democrat.
You mentioned the economic message toward the end of the debate, and it does seem as though the Trump campaign has really seized on that soundbite from Joe Biden talking about transitioning eventually to zero emission energy and dialing away from fossil fuels. How could that potentially play out in some of the battleground states like Pennsylvania, where fracking is a very important industry?
Yeah, I think that the president has used the fracking issue as a tool to try and create a wedge with Biden in these states like Pennsylvania and Texas and New Mexico and Colorado and places like that. But up until last night, I think the vice president's done a good job of sort of parrying on that. He certainly did in the first debate. But then the vice president put on the table last night in a way that I think was a little confusing to most people, and now he's on defense, is the idea that we need to have a transition away from all fossil fuels, not just gas, but also oil. And that really has a profound impact in these states that we discussed. And we already see today Democrat members of Congress pushing back on candidate Biden in a way that is not going to help his coalition in those states.
What about the discussion of race issues? The president at one point called himself the least racist person in the room and sort of framed race relations through an economic prism. Is that helpful for him?
Well, it's certainly better than the last debate where he got stuck on the issue of not condemning white supremacy. We'll remember that was one of the big sound bites that came out of the first debate. And Donald Trump took days to try and walk it back in order to ensure that doesn't become a central issue of his campaign. Last night, totally different. As you point out, he made race relations all predicated on economic growth. And if we have enough economic growth, minorities all around the country benefit, and that's what they need to to have. I think that the moderator, Kristen Welker, did a very good job of changing the tone of that discussion to how do we have a discussion with the next generation about the fears that they have in the minority community and how to connect those with the rest of the community. And I think that's where Joe Biden scored some points, where he was able to better articulate empathy in this area. And so there were, again, two big contrasts in an important issue.
And there was a lot of thought heading into the debate that the president was going to really try to attack Joe Biden on the Hunter Biden story, the laptop, the emails. It seemed like the president tried to get that in several times, but didn't quite seem to stick. Is that kind of your takeaway as well?
Absolutely. President Trump tried to reprise the show that he created at the last debate with Hillary Clinton, where he'd been complaining that the Clintons were a corrupt family. If you recall, President brought two as a guest, three women who had claimed they were assaulted by President Clinton. And last night he brought Hunter Biden's former business associate, Tony Bublinski, to talk about what's on those hard drives. There's no evidence that that there's any wrongdoing by the Biden family in all this, but Donald Trump's a showman, and he wanted to create some noise around this issue and sow doubt in the voters' minds that there's any difference between he and his family doing business while in office and what Joe Biden's done.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see how this debate plays out in terms of the issues that came to the fore last night in Nashville. Bloomberg political contributor, former McCain campaign manager Rick Davis, thank you again for being with us this morning. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, a world-class polytechnic university that makes a lasting difference in the lives of its graduates and the businesses that employ them. More at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. California is bracing for the most powerful gusts of the 2020 fire season. That's raising the threat of more blazes and blackouts in a region that's already seen a record 4.1 million acres scorched this year. Meteorologists say a storm coming off the Pacific into Oregon and Washington will push winds over the Sierra Nevada, where gusts could reach up to 70 miles per hour in some isolated canyons. Bloomberg News has learned that U.S. regulators are close to a final decision on whether to bring an antitrust suit against Facebook. The suit would accuse the social network of using its dominance to harm competition. Staff at the Federal Trade Commission support bringing a case. PayPal may be making more of a push into cryptocurrency. Sources say the firm is exploring acquisitions of companies, including Bitcoin custodian BitGo. Earlier this week, PayPal announced its customers can buy, sell, and hold cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, Ether, Bitcoin Cash, and Litecoin from digital wallets, as well as use the virtual money to shop at the 26 million merchants on its network. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 9 points. Dow futures up 103. NASDAQ futures up 12. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.85%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. And the euro, 1.1846 against the dollar. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.